We gotta hop on Rocket League together, boys. We gotta be the McLaren team right now.
Yeah, but wait, if you have three F1 cars, can you all be the same livery?
Livery.
Livery?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know why. Because what tripped me out about Rocket League... Okay, well, what we're talking about, guys, is that basically Arian lost a bet and bought us the F1 skins in Rocket League. Because Arian said...
I was the biggest whale last year.
Yeah, he thought that I actually spent the most money on free-to-play video games. And then I thought...
Not even free-to-play video games, just video games.
I thought
that... COD is not free-to-play.
That's even better. The fact that you spent that much money on COD, even after the fact that you bought the game, is actually really hilarious.
I'm telling you, man.
We should have a Whales Anonymous where people like phone in on the whale hotline, like essentially saying how much fucking money they've spent playing video games that they're afraid to tell like their friends or family. I feel like that's probably a thing, bro.
Speaking of spending money on ridiculous things, can't wait to drop my tier 3 subs on the hot tub category.
Have you ever bought a tier 3 sub before?
I've actually never bought a tier 2 sub even.
So why the fuck you capping, bro? This is a podcast of truth, no lies. And you want to know what truth? I don't know how I feel about the hot tub category.
It's exactly what we kind of wanted. They removed from just...
We wanted? Did we want the hot tub to be on Twitch?
No, it's putting a band-aid on like a gash, you know? Like, it's like someone's face is like cut down the side, like the length of Scarface's scar, but they put a band-aid on it.
Wait, okay, so let's give context here, guys. Basically, these girls go on Twitch and play. Sometimes they'll play video games, sometimes they'll just sit in the bathtub and they're naked, and then you can pay.
Okay, well, they're not naked. They're in their bathing suit.
Okay, yeah, they're in their bathing suit and they have water all over their bodies, and then they're paying. You can gift subs, like how Arian was saying. You can give the tier 3 sub for the girl to do squats.
Okay, the next bet we make, the loser...
I'm in shock right now.
The loser has to buy a tier 3 sub with the High Ground channel and clip the part where Amaranth writes...
Hype Geek?
Hype Geek.
Come listen to Hype Geek Pod, 11:30 a.m. every Tuesday.
Because yes, we definitely cannot have at least High Ground on Amaranth's tits, dude. That is chill.
We'll do Hype Geek.
Because it doesn't go against terms of service, like they said that, like...
Well, let's clarify.
Not,
yeah.
Right. You can read the terms of service. Yeah, let me read this. Putting it in a separate category kind of allows people who want to see those things, which is honestly a majority of Twitch, be able to find everything they want rather than just spamming the just chatting area. So it kind of makes sense, but at the same time, bro, it just seems like such an opposite thing from what people wanted. People probably wanted this ban from Twitch. Like, you shouldn't be able to do this shit on Twitch. It just makes everyone look bad.
Right.
But all they did was just almost give it more relevance.
Right.
Like, giving its own category. Yeah. One of the biggest fuck yous that could happen to Twitch after doing this is if suddenly Hot Tub Stream, the category, starts to get more views than like just chatting or even some game categories. How fucking crazy would it be?
Yeah. Funny.
And let me also like say something. I just want to get this idea out before I forget it. Giphy, I think, was having this problem, right? Because people were uploading porn on Giphy.
Really?
Or it was like Imgur or something.
The GIF generator?
And what they did, they didn't pull a Tumblr where they just like said, absolutely not, even though you could probably still find shit on Tumblr. What they did is they created a separate platform for just porn GIFs.
I mean, look, and if Twitch doesn't have... I feel
like if Twitch could totally do that and make a bunch of... Like, create the OnlyFans competitor.
Absolutely. Dude,
Twitch has such an easy opportunity for that.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of whether Twitch wants that.
What would you call that platform? I feel like Twitch could... Like, you could pull off some sexual innuendo off the name Twitch, probably.
They should call it Mixer.
Okay, dude, and with that, Christian, roll the intro song. All right, welcome to the Hype Geek Podcast. Yes, we're excited to have you guys listening this week. This Hype Geek Podcast is basically about gaming, fashion, music, where all those things align. That's a culture that we call Hype Geek, and we cover all those things on this podcast.
glad to have you here. My co-host Arian, for some reason, decided it'd be a good idea to start talking about hot tub streaming because he's a horny dude. And yeah, we've he's shaking his head. I'm sorry for putting you on blast, bro. We just went on this whole like hot tub streamer rant, and it had me thinking, you know, a thing that we do on this podcast is the Hype Geek Fit Check. Essentially, what we do is we take hype geeks that are in the space and, you know, help them upgrade their fit, tell them what they could be doing better, or say that they're doing great and give them a rating. And this week, we thought it's very fitting, considering what Arian was talking about, that we do Hype Geek Fit Check of Amaranth, the number one hot tub streamer and historically known for not having really any clothes on. And yes, we're going to rate her fit.
And we found a fit.
Yes.
We found a picture with clothing on.
Arian, do you want to describe?
Yeah. So what we got going on here is this cool pleated looking turtleneck. For some reason, it's like there's like a hole right at the top of her, like the top outer edge, like to show some side boob respect. And then she's wearing these like, I don't even know how to describe she's basically wearing yoga pants that like, they feel like they're like suctioning into her butt and just like accentuating just
extremely tight pants is what he's trying to say.
And they're high waisted. And she kind of looks like
pockets.
Honestly, she kind of looks like she's a Lara Croft-esque, like about to go like
that's true.
Shoot some people and steal some fucking historic artifact or some shit like that.
That's true. So what would you rate this fit? Unrated.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Does the same go for you, Cav? What's your opinion of this fit?
I have no opinion.
You have no opinion?
Yeah. This will actually be the first fit check that I will not leave a rating.
All I'm going to say is
I think we should leave this one unrated for all three of us.
Yeah, it's definitely unrated for all three of us. But I think if you were to ask me how I would upgrade the fit, honestly, low key.
Oh, wait, did you click on the second image?
No, I didn't get to that one. I don't think we need to get to that one. But I think personally for Amaranth, she kind of has like that pumpkin spice latte vibe to her. And that's not a bad thing, you know? Like, there are some girls that rock the pumpkin spice latte fit, which is like, you know, you wear the turtleneck that's like white and wool up to the turtleneck. So, you know, put a turtleneck on her, blue jeans, and then like brown boots, and then like a scarf. And then she's got the pumpkin spice latte in her hand and it matches her hair. That's kind of the vibe that I think Amaranth would really rock. But that's not going to fly for the hot tub Twitch. I keep wanting to say hot tub time machine. The hot tub Twitch category. So, yeah. I mean, that's the Hype Geek fit check on Amaranth.
Let me get in a little more in depth of it because, you know, it's still a fit check. So, we got the pose. She's turned, looking back at it. Butt sticking out. She's got her bedroom in the back. Her bed looks like a fucking like mermaid bed.
Bed is actually really crazy. Like, I don't know what the fuck that top cover is, dude. Is it like satin?
It looks like water.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't think this is her bedroom, dude. I think this is her room where she takes pictures to make it seem like it's her bedroom. Because notice how there's nothing in there. Right?
There's literally nothing in there.
There's literally nothing in there.
Except for a bed
and lighting. Just mood lighting in the corners.
Crazy lighting.
This is a photo shoot room. That money's coming in quick, huh?
Coming in fast.
Just buy a house and each room is a different photo shoot room. That's the hot tub streamer content house. Dude, what if that happens? People start making
content houses.
Yeah, content houses and they're hot tub streamers.
That happens before the Hype Geek content house, I'm gonna be
dude, really there's mad. Just hot tubs in every room with different themes, like you're like just different wallpapers in the house.
That's actually sick as fuck.
That's genius, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna join that. Yo, check out my camera right here.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Nice. Let's go.
We're hot tub streamers now. Got that green screen hot tub. Put us in the hot tub category. That's how we get some viewers, dude.
Yeah, that's how we get viewers. Dude, we should start streaming in the hot tub category.
It also actually introduces a new product category for hot tubs. Like, why?
Yeah.
You know what? High Ground should make the hot tub that all hot tub streamers use.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking pass on that, but appreciate the feedback. For those of you listening at home, for those of you listening at home, Cad just changed the background of his webcam to be a hot tub. So
we all got to do it.
Listen, I'm not as rich as you, bro. I have a 1070 Ti graphics card. I'm not able to fucking do that yet. So when I get the right...
What's to do with your graphics? But
yeah, no, seriously. He has NVIDIA broadcast technology on his graphics card.
That's all it takes to be a hot tub streamer, guys. It's just NVIDIA graphics
card. Yes, yeah. Yes. But you brought up a really good point, Kat, which is that, yes, we are live on Twitch. You can come watch us there. You should also go check out the Discord, the Hype Geek Discord. You can go on Instagram at Hype Geek, see everything that we're about. And also, obviously, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review because we're going to keep showing you hot tub content like Amaranth. Sick. If you give us a 5-star review. Psych, I'm not going to do that to you guys. What I am going to do is actually get into the meat and bones of this podcast. All jokes aside, we have some really interesting stuff to talk about here. Specifically, some new articles that I was, you know, it was late at night on like Friday night and it was like 12. And for some reason, I was just reading articles about video games.
Yeah. And Rustin just got off the hot tub category on Twitch and he was just, you know, surfing the internet.
Yeah, as I usually do, right? Once I get out of that category, then I start trying to get back on the educational grind. And I found this article about the time when Nintendo bought a baseball team. Did you guys fucking know Nintendo has a baseball team? I mean, now you do.
I didn't know, but I'm also not surprised. I just don't know why.
Why are you not surprised? Firstly,
I don't know. I feel like they're part of everything in culture, like just everywhere. They own everything.
Nintendo's the omnipresent.
The thing is, you say that as if like they have a presence, but when we get into the thick of this article, they don't have a presence on this team or in the MLB, but they still own it.
Yeah. So let me give some context. It's mid-90s, the Seattle Mariners are in the dumps and they need cash. And someone who's associated with the, like, there was a group of people in Seattle that formed and their whole objective was to buy the sports team and to bring it back to its glory. And there was someone... They were
going to move it to Florida.
Oh, because they were going to move it to Florida, correct. So they were like, no, let's keep the shit in Seattle, bro. Keep it tight, right? And so one guy in the committee was like, oh, I know the president or the found whatever the guy who runs
the head of America for Nintendo.
Got it. Thank you. Hits up that guy. That guy says, oh yeah, I think the Hiroshi Yamauchi, which is the guy who created Nintendo and is the president, he might be interested. So then there were like, if you guys don't know this, in Washington, there are actually a lot of video games in Seattle, video game companies in Seattle. Partially, it's because that it's like the Silicon Valley of the gaming community. It's one of them, LA being another one. But like Bungie is there, Valve is there, Nintendo has offices there in Redmond. Like, so basically, part of that is that there was a really good legal aspects to being in Washington. One of them being that they really cracked down on the counterfeit shit that Nintendo was dealing with in the mid-90s. So essentially, the president of Nintendo was like, yo, Seattle, you did so good to us that fuck it. We'll give you $100 million to buy your baseball team. And just because you did right by us, like we wanted to pay that respect forward. Yeah. And you guys saved our ass, helped us make a lot of money. So it's in our best duty to give back to the community.
It was literally just a gesture. Like he had no involvement in the MLB or in the team itself. Like he didn't care. He didn't watch. It wasn't a big, like that wasn't a big deal for him. He just wanted to do it as a sign of respect for the senator.
Yeah. So he gave $100 million.
What the fuck? Just as a sign of respect?
Well,
it's like charity donation.
No. They were raising $100 million. He gave 75.
He gave 75. Everyone else gave $50 million. So he got a 60% share.
Oh, and, but like there's like a little more to this. Like the commissioner of the MLB at the time was not trying to sell any team to any foreigner. It was like almost like an American pride thing. So AKA like a racism thing.
Mm.
And yeah, they had to approach a bunch of people. Like Bill Gates even was approached and he turned it down. And it went through so many different like levels. Like the senator hit up George Bush Jr., right? Because he wasn't president yet. George Bush Sr. was currently president. And George Bush Jr. is an owner of like a Texas team. And he hit him up and he was like, yeah, can you do this favor? Can you talk to your dad for us? He talked to his dad and he reached out. And like at this time, there was like tensions between Japan and America. So it was like a whole little like spiel going on.
Yeah.
Even like George Bush Sr. was visiting the prime minister of Japan.
Dude, that's why you sent this video, huh?
He was sick and he threw up on the dude's lap.
Okay, yeah. So watch this video. If you guys are listening at home, just type in George H.W. Bush vomits January 8th, 1992 on YouTube.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's a video of George H.W. Bush looking extremely sick. He turns and then he just fucking pukes on the Prime Minister of Japan.
And passes out immediately.
Yeah.
Dude, I would have straight up thought he got poisoned right then and there.
I mean,
would you not have thought this dude just got fucking poisoned?
That's what the president, the Prime Minister of Japan thought. They were like, take care of your president. Like that, yeah. Dude, fucking respect to Japan, bro. In America, they would not have said that shit. They would be like, ew, you know, or like, oh, he's dead, right? Anyway.
Wow, that's a gnarly video.
Anyway, yeah. After a few like layers, it got to George H.W. Bush, George Bush Sr., he reached out to the commissioner of the MLB and he was just like, approve it, you know, let it go through. And what they did, you said he owned 60% of the team. What they did to like still be a little like, oh, American ownership is the other 40%, which was owned by the rest of the committee. They were like, okay, these guys' voting power has to be 51%. Your voting power, your being, Yamauchi has to be 49%. Like it still has to be American controlled, even though you own 60% of the team.
It's funny because he didn't give a shit.
He didn't care. He didn't go to a single game.
Yeah. He wasn't interested in this at all. He just did it as like a favor and he didn't show up to a single game.
He sent his son to all the meetings in proxy.
Yeah. Now, if you're listening and you noticed, why the fuck was there a series of Ken Griffey Jr. games for Nintendo 64? It's because of this. Ken Griffey played for the Mariners. And why was Ken Griffey on the box of the Nintendo 64? Because of this, dude. If you're wondering, they had Mario, Kirby, Link, and then Ken Griffey Jr. on the fucking Nintendo 64 box. It's because of this situation. That's crazy, right?
That is crazy.
And then, to take it a step even further, there were actually a lot of other Nintendo Easter eggs that occurred. Like, for example, in 2007, there were 2,000 units made of a Nintendo DS Lite with the Mariners logo on it. And you could only get it in a special merch shop inside of the Mariners Stadium, which is super sick.
Dude, I wonder how much those are going for.
Yeah, that's a great question. Maybe you could look that up while I'm finishing up this aspect of the story, which is that also... which is ahead of their time, and I didn't know this, or else I would have gone to a Mariners game with my Nintendo DS. If you went to a Mariners game with your DS, you could download a special piece of DS software called the Nintendo Fan Network, which, during Mariners games, you could find out the scores of other games in progress, check player stats, order food and drink to your seats, and stream the live broadcast. There was also a baseball trivia game where fans could compete to see who was the smartest in the stadium. That's fucking cool, bro.
It's hilarious that, like,
it's 2007. Probably we didn't have phones to do that.
The sport you hate the most.
Yeah, I hate baseball.
You were incentivized to just even talk about going to it just because of
Nintendo.
You can order food from your Nintendo.
No, because
it's like an airplane tablet, but in the form of like a DS. Because like that's all the functionality of airplane tablet. You could play games and shit and order food to your seat. That's all it was. But it was 2007. So
yeah, dude. It's pre-iPhone. That was super cool. Like your DS had multifunctionality. And yeah, just to close this thing off, Mr. Yamauchi passed in 2013. And like, dude, the city of Seattle had major respect for him. They hosted like a moment of silence for him on the baseball field. And he's credited with being one of the major reasons for why Japanese baseball players were able to come to America and compete in MLB, because they would come through the Mariners. So fucking respect, dude. That's super sick.
Nice, yeah. Nice. He really super did sick. Open up, like this whole situation did open up the US to foreigners coming into the sport, you know.
That was really awesome. Great story. Found that on accident. And then while I was reading that, I found another really interesting story, which I kind of knew the first part of this, but the rest of it I didn't know. Mm. So the story is that...
it shines a different light on Yamauchi.
Well, yeah. Basically, the story is PS1's betrayal and revenge. So I don't know if most people know this, but this is a part that I knew just prior knowledge, which is that Nintendo and Sony were actually going to release a console together. And it was called the PSX. And it was like a Nintendo PlayStation joint thing. And then before that, they had signed a deal with PlayStation, or with Sony, Nintendo did, where you could run CD drive games on the SNES, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was revolutionary because cartridge games could only develop a certain level of graphics for video game, that CDs could do it to the next level. So for Nintendo, it was exciting. For Sony, it was exciting because Sony wanted to get into video games. And Nintendo and Sony are two Japanese companies that were never rivals. But as soon as Nintendo started to realize that Sony is starting to do press releases of like, yo, we're super excited for this because now we can start making our own video games and like CDs are way better than cartridge games. Nintendo was like, one, you're shitting on us in the press. Two, holy fuck, dude, these guys might kick our ass. And they got our balls in a vice because they're the only way that we can do CD games right now. They're the ones that are making the hardware. And if that's where the game is going, we got to start getting our shit together. So,
wait, quick question. Did Sony have a console back then?
No, they did not. They didn't even have
a PlayStation brand. So Nintendo had SNES and Sony didn't have anything. And so that's the timeline.
Correct. And the terms of the Sony deal were that the SNES PlayStation was going to be the fucking name of the device or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sony had brought prototypes of the SNES PlayStation to CES 1991. They made a massive fucking booth. They were ready to show off the new joint venture. But only one day into the event did Nintendo pull off a major big dick move. They held a surprise press conference where the betrayal was revealed. Nintendo reveals that they were going to sign with Philips and essentially create their next console with Philips and not with PlayStation, not with Sony.
Wait, and they didn't even tell them during that press conference?
No.
They just, wow.
So Sony has a booth hyping up the SNES PlayStation, and then Nintendo a day later at CES reveals, oh yeah, we're going to go do this Philips deal.
Dude, literally they found out, Sony found out moments before the show, like the to reveal the Philips deal, and they were like calling everyone. They called fucking everyone. They were like threatening law, and they were like, "You can't, bro. This is different." You know, like they had found a loophole in that contract, and just completely fucked Sony.
Yeah, Philips is what? What's
so? Philips is like a general electronics brand. Like my razor is Philips.
So how do they replace Sony's games?
Okay, so
CDs. Yeah.
Basically, from my understanding, Philips, here's the source of tension here. So let me dive into this really quickly. I lost my train of thought. I apologize. There was a part of this article that was going to explain what you were saying, and I'm losing it here. Okay.
Essentially, what they made was a CD-ROM adapter for the SNES as well.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the exact same thing that they were doing with Sony. Yeah. But there was a section of this which is really interesting to me. The Philips deal was meant to do two things at once: give Nintendo back its stranglehold on software and gracefully fuck Sony. Sony had Nintendo by the balls in multiple ways, actually. One of them being that Sony was the sole supplier of the SNES audio chip. So it had taken advantage of that fact by forcing programmers to use an expensive Sony development tool to properly use it. So there was just like so many signs to Nintendo of like, if this thing continues, they're going to continue fucking us. So let's go sign with their nearest competitor and make the deal more favorable towards us, but still do the same thing, which is add CD-ROMs to our technology. So PlayStation decides, you know what? Fuck this shit. Let's make video games. They were honestly kind of adverse to it initially. They weren't really into the Nintendo deal.
I mean, Sony didn't even want to get anywhere near video games because at the time, like, you know, Sony was like a respectable company, like media company, and they were like, why do we want to make a toy? Right? Like, why do we want to put our stuff in Toys R Us? Right? They looked down on it. And that's just how video games were looked at back then.
Yeah. So, but they said, fuck this shit. They embarrassed us. Let's go full tilt. So they go in, and there's this one guy, Phil Harrison, who had a major role in essentially making the PlayStation cool and going in hardcore. And they put the PlayStation offices in the Sony Music headquarters. So it was like a perfect combination of like, let's just make a cool, young, edgy brand, see what happens. And Sony was like, you can't put Sony on it. It can only say PlayStation. Because we don't want this shit to be tied back to us if it gets fucked up, right? So, but how did they do the attack? How do you beat Nintendo at the game that they've been winning this whole time? Nintendo historically had a very strict supply and distribution model. Essentially, when you go and you want to make a video game for Nintendo, you got to fucking first get a certification, which takes months. Then they send you the dev kit. Then you make the game. Then they determine when your game is going to release, how many units you're allowed to do, and they control a majority of the revenue, right? So it was very restrictive. And they could do that because they were one of the only people making video games. So Sony comes in, they say, look, you can get certified in 2 weeks. You can control how and when your product gets sold and how many units you want to do. And by the way, we're going to give you guys amazing rev shares. So when they go,
the power back to the devs.
Yes, exactly. Which is really important. Historically in gaming, that usually helps you out. So then they go to, I think it was like 93 or 94, 2 years later, and they announce all this stuff and the devs freak out at the conference. They go, they sign up. Western publishers are super stoked. They start making games with Sony because Nintendo never really wanted to work with Western video game companies, which is hilarious. Just thinking back to the old article that we read about how they were super stoked on Seattle when they finally came to the West. So anyway, it's funny how life works. And that guy, Phil Harrison, talks about the moment he knew where this shit was going to really hit hard was when they went to Namco and they presented a demo of Ridge Racer to him on the PlayStation. And he remembers realizing, holy shit, this is it. And then one of the guys demonstrating Ridge Racer was like, yo, can we show you another game? And he was like, yeah, sure. And what's it called? They said it's called Tekken. They were just like, oh yeah, we have this other game, it's called Tekken. And oh yeah, I've made this game called Ridge Racer, it's cool. But it's fucking massive. They release in Japan, it sells out super fast with a really edgy marketing campaign, and Sony was still like, you can't say Sony on the consoles. And then they go and release in the West, and a big fear about the launch was that Sega heard about this PlayStation shit. And they were releasing the Sega Saturn. So like, fuck, they dropped the price of their console. And it was like a ridiculous price point. So Sony took that as like, well, fuck, I mean, what are we going to do, right? They come out, they go to the press conference.
And Sega's price point was $399.
Thank you. The price point was $399.
Low for the time.
Low for the time. So Sony hosts a press conference for the next day. They come out at the press conference. They're hyping up different shit, whatever. The guy walks on stage at the end and he just says $299 and walks off stage. And
the whole crowd just goes insane.
They sold the console for $100 cheaper than the Sega Saturn, even though it was going to crush them profit-wise.
Yeah, they lost a lot of business, but they also created the business from that.
Yeah, you know? A lot of lessons there. And it just blew up. And they're targeting not teenagers, but 20-somethings. With licensed music and sponsored nightclub events. Mm-hmm. And that's how
remember all those, like, if you scroll up in the article, you'll see that crazy ad where it's like his veins are the buttons on the PlayStation. And there was even one where I didn't know this was real until this, and I did more research. It's condoms in the shape of the fucking,
yeah,
of the thing too. They were
the circle X triangle. Oh
yeah. Yeah. They were targeting teens. I mean, not teens, but they were targeting
20-somethings. Basically, people like our age. Now, yeah.
You know?
Super smart. Super smart. So those were some fun little history lessons there. Really stoked on
to sell the highest selling console of all time in the PS2.
Yeah. I think Sony's done a great job. I know that Kaz is a Sony fanboy. I know that Kaz loves Fortnite. Arian, you're in the Xbox camp, right?
I grew up with both.
Okay.
So I have a good understanding of both, and PlayStation 2 was one of the best consoles of all time.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Like 100%, no doubt about it.
Well, this generation plays Roblox, honestly. Like they're not buying fucking
consoles. Yeah, now games are on iPads.
Yeah. And that's crazy to think about, and I wonder like how they're going to get their AAA experiences that we got, but we don't have time to become old heads right now. We're still young. And we got to talk to you guys about what we just found out happened at fucking Roblox. Remember last week we were talking about the Gucci Roblox thing? Apparently, I didn't know this, but you can resell items in Roblox. I had no idea. And someone had bought a Gucci purse that was selling for a limited time period. and it resold for 4K, which is actually more than what the purse that it's modeled after retails in real life. So,
fuck.
Yeah, that's fucking what crazy.
The fuck.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And this is what I was talking about in the beginning. We were talking about people who are addicted to spending money in games.
Oh.
Full circle, baby.
Okay. Now, all right, let me ask you this. This isn't an NFT.
No.
Okay.
So it's just stuck in the game.
It's just stuck in Roblox.
It's stuck in the game, but the game, you know, Roblox is a sandbox game. Like, there's millions of games within Roblox. You can take things throughout those different worlds and games. It's like trying to be its own metaverse for its own thing, right? You know? So you get this Gucci bag, you can go to, you know, Dragonland where you're flexing your dragons while you're wearing your Gucci bag on your thing. You remember that game that my little cousin was showing us, right? It's like the concept of NFTs, but just within itself.
Yes. Because
there's still the market. You could still buy and sell and trade with each other. And
I mean, this is the more familiar version of in-app or in-game purchases, like RuneScape and MapleStory that I used to play. Like, you always bought things that just you could never bring anywhere. But I truly do remember the value of feeling, just value seeing pixels on your screen. And when you see other people have those dope ass pixels and you didn't, it was worth a lot of money in my eyes. I remember going to the fucking gas station, buying like a $50 NX gift card, which was MapleStory's currency, to buy some like sick hairstyle or some bullshit.
Whale in training.
That's why NFTs is the future for this. Because like, when you think about people spending this much money to apply it to the blockchain in which you can actually own it, because that's the reason why it's so expensive, right? Because there's like there's demand for it, and then you could bring it outside of the game to whether it's just your wallet or to actually own it, and then to apply it to other games in the future. That's why we need this, and that's why gaming and NFTs go hand in hand, because the innate value of just pixels on your screen and the supply and demand of it has been birthed in gaming since the very, very beginning.
Facts. So,
Facts. And then let me read this last paragraph or last couple sentences of this article. It says, this is just one example of the independent marketplace, aka run by its young player base, of user-generated content that lives on Roblox. Roblox has its own fashion industry, and these sorts of dashes to buy are reminiscent of buying hard-to-get items in the pandemic. And now, despite people hating on it, everyone wants the item, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Real life is just literally being replicated onto this platform.
Everyone in crypto knows that gaming is the fucking thing that's going to make NFTs pop off, right? But everyone in gaming hates NFTs.
So fucking
it's true. So confusing. I'm like, it's you so dumb motherfuckers. You're buying NFTs that you just don't know it and you can't own it. Roblox can say, fuck you, and delete the game, and all your shit is gone.
It's a lack of knowledge thing. And that's where we, as like who we are, step in and try to, you know, spread our knowledge, spread this information and get these gamers on our side, right?
Facts.
It's not even like, I'm not going to even say sides, right? Because I'm not trying to separate it. They just don't know.
They need to see the light.
They see what everyone sees, right? A stupid piece of art that you can't do anything with, sells for like a stupid amount of money for this fucking dude who's already stupidly loaded. So obviously that's going to make them mad because they haven't seen the real application of NFTs. They just see it as virtual art, which they can fucking screenshot.
It's not their fault.
That was very divisive.
No. I'm not saying it's
It's very saturated. NFTs are a little saturated, and there are a lot of NFTs that have zero value, like all these artists and like musicians coming out with it. But the same kids that are on Twitter saying like NFTs are fucking stupid are the same guys spending thousands of dollars on Fortnite skins. Yeah,
dude. I'm not even mad at those kids. I'm just saying it's like they just don't know, dude. It's still a little early, and
there's got to be a frame shift.
Us three have to be like the pioneers to like.
We're the pioneers, bro.
We're the pioneers.
Hell yeah. We're the pioneers. We're the
pioneers.
All right, well.
Speaking of gamers hating on things, can we look at the image that they released for the new Uncharted movie with Mark Wahlberg and what's his name?
Tom Holland.
Wait, before I liked you. Before anyone continues, Aryan, do you like this?
I don't think I do.
Hater! Aryan's the hater, bro.
One of those.
Hater.
Here's the thing. When Tom Holland was announced, everyone was hating, and I was actually the one who was like, no, this is sick. He's going to be a young Nathan Drake. Like, it's going to be dope. And then when they announced Mark Wahlberg as Sully, I was like, okay, now I'm kind of like, you know, Mark is not, you know, it's going to be like a,
it's going to be Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, it's going to be a forced comedy shit. Like, come on, right? Like, I still fuck with Tom Holland. I love him as an actor, and I think he's a good young Nathan Drake. I am very scared to see how the movie is going to turn out just based off this image. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Ka?
I personally like it. I like both actors a lot. Like, I have a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. Like, some of my favorite Marvel movies are with Tom Holland in it. Like, the Spider-Man movies are amazing to me.
Those are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg, also iconic actor in a lot of movies. Comedy movies, but I don't think they'll, hopefully, they don't have too much of a comedy corny twist to it, you know? But I like both of them. And just looking at this image itself makes me pretty stoked for the movie. It just looks like one of those. Like, you know how a lot of good movies, or at least entertaining plot-driven movies, are based off books? Yeah. Well, this is kind of I kind of see this as like, you know, when they base it off a game, it'll still have that plot, which is really good. But then, like, the action sequence and everything that you see in a movie are retained that way. When I look at this image, I'm kind of excited to watch this movie in hopes that it follows along the same lines of, like, when you read a book and you watch the movie, it's really cool. And, like, a lot of good movies that I've watched are based off books, right? So hopefully they could start doing that with games.
Yeah.
And if you scroll down in the replies, that second reply right there kind of shits on what I just said. It's like, why are people so obsessed with the actors looking just like the original characters? I see it here and I see it all the time for comic book movies. What the actor looked like doesn't matter. All that matters is that they give a good performance.
Correct. I'll tell you this.
I completely agree with
you. I'll tell you this. I'm actually excited to watch this. I do get that, like, you know, Mark Wahlberg play Sully? Doesn't look like Sully. But then I go, well, what about the people that look like Sully? Whoever looks like Sully is probably a trash actor in comparison to Mark Wahlberg. Like, in Mortal Kombat, they tried to pick people that looked like the people in the game, and they were all terrible fucking actors I've never heard of in my life. And the movie was fucking trash, which makes me scared to see this movie. And the reason the movie was trash is because they were trying to squeeze in everyone's fucking backstories in 2 seconds. And I was like, dude, one, why am I supposed to care about these people if you tell their story in 2 seconds? And two, it's wrong, right? So that's what I'm afraid of, but hopefully in Uncharted, because there's not as many characters as in a fucking fighting game that's 60 people, that they'll be able to nail the story and do what Cass said. So I'm excited, and Mark Wahlberg is a better actor than whoever the fuck else they could find for Sully. So hopefully he does well, and hopefully he just doesn't act like he's Mark Wahlberg, because that would ruin the movie for me.
I think that's what actors try to not do.
Say hi to your mother for me, Nathan. And then throws him off a cliff.
It's so funny that they're making a movie of Uncharted, because Uncharted was always kind of looked at as like the video game rendition of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And then now they're making an Indiana Jones video game. Yeah. It's like the world is flipping upside down, bro.
Such a good game though, bro. When you play that game, it doesn't feel like you're playing it something. It feels like you're experiencing it. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
I haven't played it.
We know that, dude. All you do is play Fortnite. You know, that's why we didn't even ask
you. PlayStation exclusive too.
Yeah,
it's like one of the like
single player, you know, it goes.
It's like one of the most beloved PlayStation exclusive series of all time. And you, of course, have never played it.
Yeah, of course.
You literally just play Fortnite.
Kaz a different guy. Kaz a different guy.
It's crazy. Let's go on to another game that like was absolutely like a banger and a beloved series. It's the team that made Super Mario Odyssey is doing the next Donkey Kong game.
All right. Well, as is usual for RN, you got too horny and you jumped the gun. We need to explain the fact that we do a segment called Hype Geek Watch, where we give you guys updates on different news and articles that we think that you should be paying attention to. One of them being the next Donkey Kong. This is the third time Arian has done this. The next Donkey Kong game is rumored to be created by the Super Mario Odyssey team. Continue. I'll let you go off on that, riff on that.
No. I'm not gonna continue.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's what's happening. So that's pretty cool.
Super Mario Odyssey. Like one of the better games of Super Mario's in my opinion, and we haven't had a Donkey Kong game in how many years,
dude? 64 was the last true Donkey Kong game.
64, bro, dude. I loved Donkey Kong 64. And I loved the world and I loved the characters I think all the other characters kind of get like slept on in terms of like Super Smash Bros. Like they have DK and Diddy Kong and King K. Rool, but they don't have like
Trixie.
Trixie and yeah, all the
they
other.
Did have in Mario Kart Wii, they did have like Party Kong or whatever. You know, the guy with the bandana and the sunglasses? He was epic.
He was epic. For yeah. Sure. Yeah. So this is super exciting news. I can't wait to see what the Odyssey team can do for Donkey Kong in the next generation of Donkey Kong, right? It's like two generations have been passed.
Yeah, I really hope that it's a 3D Donkey Kong, like 64. That would be super cool. And we know you haven't played a cat, so we're not even going to ask you. So,
because yeah, it's a single player game. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, there's also another game that we know you haven't played because we also haven't played it. It's called Guild of Guardians, and it's another one of these play to earn NFT games. We covered Axie Infinity last week. People on Twitter fucking love that, and so did they do on TikTok. So we want to give you guys insight on another play to earn game called Guild of Guardians, which is starting their first NFT sale tomorrow, which would be May 26th, Wednesday. So basically the time that you're listening to this podcast at, I believe, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can buy not only like different heroes that you can battle with. Let me give context. It's a dungeon crawler. So it's four of you guys and you go into...
Wait, did we talk about a game like this last week too?
No, they were raising money to go build like an RPG type game.
Right, but...
But you're right. A lot of the NFT games are like this, dungeon crawler type things.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can buy heroes in that sale, or this is what was interesting to me. You can buy guilds. I've never seen this mechanic in a play to earn game where you buy, like you need a badge to create a guild and you can have 20 members in the cheapest one, 50 members in the most expensive one. The most expensive one costs $100K. The cheapest one costs $200.
$100K?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You get a percent of crafting sales, though. So that's what it is.
Yeah, you can...
Oh.
It's super cool. You first... It's like in World of Warcraft, you can just... You make a guild. But in this, you... Having the guild item is rare because there's only 2,000 of the cheapest one and 10 of the most expensive one.
And there's also... Yeah.
And then you make money off of it. If you have people in your guild crafting items and then selling to other players, you get a percentage of those sales. So you can...
It's an investment. Team 10. It's like Jake Paul's Team 10. You just raise these influencers and powerful creators and just take profits off them. Exactly like this.
Yeah.
Just create powerful characters and just take profits off them.
But before you go and invest in these NFT games, just make sure you go and check the developer team and who's behind it. Like, I don't know who's making this game, but like you should look at the team because you're about to invest in a game. You want to make sure that they know how to make the fucking game and it's going to be a good game that people will go and play. Mm-hmm. Or else you spend $100K on a useless guild item, essentially.
Yeah. This one looks pretty sick. I would play this over Axie.
Yeah.
And over the other one that was also a dungeon crawler. I don't know. The art style and like the speed of it looks pretty cracked. And like the fact you can play with like three other friends and then all earn money together and get exclusive items and compare them and shit. That actually sounds pretty appealing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I actually like it a lot.
Hopefully the gameplay loops are good, right? Dude, if it's like Hades, Arian. Oh, this is a mobile. It's on mobile. That's great. That's a good sign. The website looks good.
Cat is so mad right now.
Yeah.
No, actually, for something like this, mobile makes sense. Like if you could play to earn anywhere you go, just like sitting in a restaurant.
Ubisoft is a partner. That's a good sign because they're a partner with Axie Infinity. Okay, this is actually a pretty good sign. The website's good. Okay. Yeah. Maybe. I just don't know when it's coming out. I don't want to spend all this money.
The creator got into crypto in 2014. So he's a long-term crypto.
Also, he's been had the sauce.
Yeah.
Okay. How much does it cost to play a game like this? Because I know we got this wrong. When we posted the Axie segment on TikTok, we were informed that the game actually costs a lot to play because you have to buy the characters prior to playing, which costs upwards of a couple $100s,
yeah,
depending on the price of the characters. So something like this, like Guild of Guardians,
you need to buy
also upfront cost.
You need to buy a hero, and just like in Axie, you need to buy little things like little Axies to start playing the game. So in order to play the legendary heroes right now are 250, but that's because that's the only thing they're selling. But the epic heroes will be $55 when those release. But you can also expect pets and boosters and future sale events. So epic is probably like legendary is the most expensive. Epic is like the second. And then there's probably like a super cheap tier. But there's only a certain number of all those heroes. Once those are all bought, you can only buy them in the secondary marketplace, which is like what's happening with Axie right now. All the Axies were bought, but you can breed Axies and sell those. So I don't know if they're going to have breeding mechanics in here. don't know. Anyway.
Makes sense. Higher upfront cost, but you could pay it off in the future.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah,
can't be completely free.
Exactly. So, all right. Continuing the Hype Geek Watch. Daniel Arsham released an NFT. This was actually requested to us by someone in the Discord. So, shout out you. I'm sorry for not remembering the name.
It was Logan.
Oh, it was Logan. Astrostall. Okay. Astrostall told us about the Daniel Arsham NFT. And he posted a video on his Instagram on Daniel Arsham. If you want to see the process that he went through to make the thing, definitely very well thought out. Still kind of a, it's like a digital sculpture series that he's releasing.
What it is like all of his sculptures and his art is like deconstructed, right? It's like, it looks like what it would be in like 100,000 years found later, like broken, crystallized and shit. And he created this NFT art that over the course of a year, it just gets more eroded.
Oh, that's really sick.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's pretty on brand with Daniel Arsham. So I fuck with it.
It's like in a Japanese temple. It was $1,500 and 670 minted. So you do the math on that. Red Dead Redemption 2 VR. That's it. That's the tweet.
That's not the tweet, though. Oh. Because it's not by Rockstar.
Oh.
It's by the goated gaming community and modders, bro.
That's actually, you know, really cool.
Rockstar doesn't do anything fun.
Play RDR2 in VR.
Dude, modders are saving Rockstar. Just going to put it there.
Wait, this is bullshit. The only way you can download the mod is if you sub to the guy's Patreon for $8 a month.
Yeah, that's the same thing with NoPixel.
You have to sub to these things?
Yeah, you have to pay a monthly fee to be on NoPixel.
Genius and bullshit, in my opinion. Dude, I just want to buy the goddamn thing. Why do I have to pay you? I already pay for Spotify sound. Like, oh, dude.
Think about it, man. You're supporting this young engineer, like, who's constantly has to update this thing.
I know.
Like, he has to build it illegally, right? Like, if you play online with the NoPixel mod or this VR mod, you will get your Rockstar account banned.
I know.
So he has to figure out, you know.
Wait, really? It's not. Yeah. You're not allowed to?
You're not allowed to mod.
What about all these streamers? Rockstar. Can't Rockstar actually just do something about it? Just fucking ban all them? They literally could.
I mean, it's giving Rockstar so many sales. I'm sure they're just like took one step back and just like, yeah. Even though they don't like it, they've come out and said they don't like it, right? Like Twitch, but they're not doing anything about it because
Rockstar's been sitting on their ass for 10 years. Fuck those guys, bro.
And now they just
make us a new game, please.
It's a new game. The GTA 5. Upgrade is gonna be $70
on the new console. So this GTA 5 upgrade,
the GTA 5
remaster, $70 for the HD.
It's an upgrade. It's gonna be $70.
Man, they just can't keep getting away with this, bro. It's crazy. That's crazy. Okay, Arnon, you put this one in here because you're a huge fan of Jordan Fisher.
Yeah, huge fan of Jordan Fisher. Look at these tights, bro. He just got got the new role in the Flash show for season 7 as Impulse, which is basically like Robin, I think. Like
he's the Robin of Flash.
Becomes the Flash like later too. He's just like I just threw this in here because he looks so funny. This picture is so funny. Like he looks like a child. I don't know.
He does look like a child. Yeah.
Like I don't know if it was intentional, but just like.
It's interesting because the picture makes it seem like. Like he's going forwards, but then they shot it in an angle that makes him seem like he's 4'2". Like it's really confusing. Like it's super confusing.
And the suit does look a little funny. Like it's just like a little. It just looks like a Party City.
Well, jokes aside, dude, a fucking gamer is on a TV show. That's sick. I mean, he was an actor before, but still, like he's a gamer, tried and true, a streamer.
He's a Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
That's best category.
Yeah. All right. Well.
All right.
Respect. That's it from us over here at the Hype Geek Podcast. Thanks so much to you guys for tuning in. Thanks for bearing with us on our little jump segments on the brief parts. We appreciate you guys. If you enjoyed this podcast, like I said, subscribe, share it with your friends, leave a 5-star review, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.